Friends, allies, and Americans, welcome to the Defense of Democracy podcast, where we tell the stories of folks who defend your children's rights by advocating for inclusive public school systems and who fight for diversity across our nation. I'm your host, Karen Swoboda. Let's get into it. Today on the Defense of Democracy podcast, I am so happy to welcome Sharon Rocky Roggio to the show. Sharon is a producer. She is a documentarian, a researcher, an advocate, so many things. Sharon, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Karen. It's awesome to be here.
So Defense of Democracy has partnered with you and your company in the movie, in the showing of the movie 1946, which is an incredible documentary. I don't even know where to start. Tell me, what gave you the idea of doing this film? And I want to say it's the film 1946, in a nutshell, is about the how, why, where, and who decided to put the word homosexual in the Bible. And it took place in the year 1946. I give nothing away with that. So Sharon, go ahead. Let me know.
Sure. Yeah. So I was raised in the church. My dad is a non-denominational minister. And whether you were raised in the church or not, we know that in America, the Bible and Christianity plays a huge role in our culture and in our society. And unfortunately, separation of church and state is not really as much of a thing as it should be. And so for me, growing up in the 90s as a queer kid, not really knowing what that is, not really having representation, but hearing all the rhetoric that was going on, and this was really what I learned to discover since making this film, the time in history when LGBTQ people were platformed politically and the Bible was used as a weapon against our community, really for the first time. And that's one of the things that we kind of discuss. We know that homophobia has plagued our reality for as long as humans existed. That's not what this is about. This is about how the word homosexual was put into the Bible and then how Christians essentially weaponized the Bible against a marginalized group of people. And we see this throughout Christianity in many facets. The LGBTQ community is the next in a long list of others, which include women, which include people with disabilities, which includes left-handed people, which includes, at one time they were persecuted, which includes Galileo, who spent his life in jail after he discovered how the earth really rotates around the sun, but there were five clobber verses that put him away. Anyway, long story short, being a kid in the 90s who grew up LGBTQ and always wanted to have a conversation with my non-affirming parents to affirm my identity as a real equal participant, human being in society, and being LGBTQ is not a sin. So later on, fast forward to 2018, when I first learned of the researchers who were the ones to ask the question first, who made this decision and why, to put the word homosexual in the Bible. And after my whole 25-year history growing up with my struggle with my own family in this reality, knowing how important this information was. So basically, they discovered that not only was it how the word entered the Bible, but in fact, it was a mistranslation. We have the evidence to go off of. So I wanted to be able to make a film that can show how we got here, with an empathetic, compassionate, it's not an us versus them, it's not an attack on anyone, this is an intervention, really. This is a real mistake that impacts real lives. And how do we get to the bottom of this so that we can actually solve bigger problems that are surrounded with how we treat people with ancient text and how we use the Bible, specifically in America? So that's kind of it in a nutshell. There's many more layers there, as you can imagine.
So in your making of the film, there are a few important kind of walk-on roles. And one of them is your parents make an appearance, in particular, your dad, who has a very different view of the word homosexual and homosexuality. And I'm just wondering how that affects you, really. Because it's such an introspective documentary, but with a universal message. But I mean, I'm sorry. I just like was thinking of you the whole time I was watching the movie and wondering how that affected you.
Yeah, thank you. And my dad as well. You know, this is, was not an easy thing to revisit. And we had to open up dialogue and conversation that we didn't necessarily close because it's never finished, because we both have learned to agree to disagree and just do life so that we have each other in our lives and we don't look back 20, 30 years from now and say, I wish I had, or I wish I had a relationship with them, you know? And so it's difficult. And that was a decision that we made. But as the producer of the film, outside of my parent relationship that we see in the film, we as producers wanted to be able to contextualize how this real mistranslation plays out in our lives. So we were looking for, and my story is unique to me, but unfortunately it's not unique. And so we were looking for an example to kind of add this realistic portrayal while we're going through reading the Bible and sitting in conferences and doing all these things that you would think, talking about death word definitions that you would think are heady and boring, which they are, but we wanted to make it relatable and watchable and also really hit at all aspects of people who are going through this. And so with my dad, some people will criticize that we gave him too much of a platform, but we really wanted to make sure that we were being fair in our presentation, in our representation, in our dialogue, in our heart, in the whole thing. And so we wanted to give him equal participation and obviously give him his authentic voice to say what he feels. But now to that end though, Karen, really quickly, and I'll wrap up. I know I have really long answers.
No, it's fine.
we were so grateful that my dad said yes, because we knew what he was going to say, and it offered us an opportunity to show the audience that we're not going to change everybody's mind, and that's okay. And one of the main through lines is, how are we doing relationship, and how are we growing with one another? And the only way to really be an influence is to continue to be in relationship and continue to have those hard conversations and those hard talks. And so we hope that there'll be enough people in that movable middle that will recognize the new information to move with us, but also don't lose hope and know that we're not going to move everyone, but let's still stay in the sticky, you know?
And that, I just really love that, because that's been, as somebody like you are this amazing producer of this incredible film, and I have the good fortune of working with thousands of volunteers around the country. And we have, I believe, especially right now at Defense of Democracy, a rather moderate message. That's why the film resonated with me, because I was also raised in a religious household. My parents weren't, you know, ordained or anything like that, but I went to Catholic school and a Catholic college and high school and all of that. And there was this kind of thread of love and respect through the movie that I do think is, you know, it made me think like, this is what we should all be doing. Like, I miss these conversations where you don't quite see eye to eye, but you can still respect each other enough to speak. Now, let me ask you this, and this is a spoiler, so I'm saying a spoiler alert. Did you at any point really expect him to change?
No, and I don't ever expect him to change. And this is where it becomes really complicated, where you have to decide on relationship, because my dad, I would assume the way he's going to vote in this next election would really hinder my well-being as an American. And so it's hard to really, you know, put yourself in that position when you know that your loved ones are voting against your basic human rights and well-being. But they don't see it that way. And so again, that's where I have to make a decision to stay in relationship and do the best I can and just show up and try not to be annoying. I mean, my dad even says it in the film. He was like, we don't talk about it because we don't want to be annoying. And it's like, you know, well, I don't want to be annoying either, when every time I'm over there, you know, I just dig something that is opposite of what we think, you know? So we don't do that. We do just do relationship, which has been wonderful. I just got back from a trip visiting my parents just this weekend. And, you know, we make dinners together and we go shopping and it's just normal.
You're a family. I mean, that history doesn't go away. Sometimes it does though. I mean, you're very lucky that for you, it didn't go away, but so talk to me about how the film is being received. there's a lot of exciting news there.
Yeah. Well, the film has been received so well over the last year. During our festival circuit, we won 24 awards in 12 months, which was just incredible, at some really prestigious and wonderful film festivals, and have gotten some great press. We've been doing self-distribution the whole time, though, because we are having difficulty finding a streaming partner, which is a little bit surprising, but at the same time, you know, it's a controversial film, and the way of the documentary industry, from what we've learned this year, is these types of films just aren't moving, and contenters are creating their own products. And so we have to find alternative ways, and we're just going to adapt with the time and continue to make the movie available for people. To that end, it's available on our website. You can rent the movie and watch it at home. And so we want to make sure it's available for people while we still work on a streaming platform, and or we are working on Amazon Prime and things like that, so people can hopefully search it, and, you know, without knowing about it, even find it a little bit easier.
And your website, for anyone who's listening, is 1946themovie.com. Is that what it is? I got it. Okay, cool. Cool. Well, now I want to pivot a little bit and talk about the partnership between Defense of Democracy and the you and the producers of 1946. Because I don't even remember. Did you reach out to me? Did I reach out to you? Did a friend introduce us? I don't know. But anyway, here we are. And so Defense of Democracy is so excited to be getting behind this. And I want to let you know, as of right now, we almost have 40 film festivals where this is the film at our film festival, 40 locations all around the country that on the last week in April are going to be showing this film. And we have some of these locations where they're going to be upwards of 150 people in attendance. And then we have some of them that are very small and people are privately showing to their friends in their homes. I am hoping, and I have every expectation, that we will be hopefully amplifying this really important movie. And to that end, I always do a volunteer shout out on the show, and I want to do a shout out to one of our volunteers who has stepped up to be what we're calling a film festival host. Her name is Lauren. She is going to be showing her film on Sunday, April 28th at a bookstore in Richmond, Virginia. And so Lauren all of us are making this up as we go along. It was like, we planned this film festival. It's a whirlwind like everything else we do. But people are so pumped and excited about it. And so for all the full list of showings that Defense of Democracy is partnering in, go right to defenseofdemocracy.org. Right on our homepage has a list of all the shows. Lauren and your team, thank you for the incredible job that you're doing in Virginia. They really tried to find a beautiful location. I think they've got something incredible. So now back to our conversation. What are you hoping for? You know, after people watch this film, what is your hope? I guess, what is the thing that really kind of drives you? Because you have been working incredibly hard on getting this out. And it's not just you. There's a whole team of people who are sacrificing blood, sweat, and tears to get this together.
Well, I would hope that people will be able to just take a step back from their own reality, whatever that might be, whether you've been someone who is a victim and been hurt by the church, or maybe you come from a place of privilege and you haven't even really thought about some of these ways that people have been hurt. And maybe now this will open up your eyes a little bit. Also, some of the takeaways would be further relationship, of course, but also further dialogue and education, further looking into some of these things. And to that end, we are working on a workbook discussion guide that we're hoping to be out by the end of the summer. We're working with a publishing company, so things always take a little bit more time. Unfortunately, I wanted it ready by February, but I think we're almost in April. But the point of that being, you know, there's a lot of things that we couldn't answer in a 90-minute presentation. And some of the things would be, what about one man, one woman, the biblical view on marriage, women's reproductive rights. Some of the things we talk about in the film, if a Malakoi is a rape victim, why are they condemned too? That's a very good question. What about the sodomite? It's always been a sodomite. It's the same as a homosexual. No, it's not. And here's why. And so we encourage people to really dig into this stuff because it matters. Words matter. We know the sticks and stones may break my bones, but you know, those words really do hurt. So I changed the nursery rhyme there.
There are words that are destroying our democracy right now, right? I mean, there's...
Absolutely.
There's no way to kind of understate that.
We wanted to partner with Defense of Democracy. And so we're so grateful to have this opportunity. We're providing the movie at no cost to y'all so you can fundraise. And we encourage people to check out the website, see where you can go locally and get with the community and watch it together and really support Defense of Democracy as we all work together to create a more inclusive world for all Americans. And this impacts all of us. Again, whether you're Christian or not, it's really important to look at these things. And so I invite anyone who might be skeptical or, again, anybody who's been hurt by the church who doesn't want to see this movie, please take a look at it. And the last week in April, tell us a little bit more about the event.
So thank you. So the event, the way that Defense of Democracy is running it is that people, our volunteers will step up and say, listen, I want to host this film. And like you said, which I didn't, all of this is new to me, but you have the ability to allow us to show the film like it's a movie, right? I'm gonna be telling you, okay, here are all the locations, and here are all the times that their link needs to be active, and so the film is gonna roll. And in the meantime, what we're doing is we're really kind of stimulating an interest in the film. We're having conversations among our chapters. We have availability. So our hosts will come, they'll get a venue. And I will say it's surprised me. The majority of our, it actually hasn't surprised me. I should have seen this coming a mile away, but the majority of our venues are religious institutions. We have the majority, vast majority of them are like the Unitarian Church. There's a temple that's involved. Like there's some wonderful religious organizations that are like so excited to have this conversation, and you kind of put it in this beautiful kind of packaging that people can really digest and understand. So the, and one of them, I mean, I think it's more than one, but at least one of the churches that I'm aware of has bullet holes in their stained glass because of the violence leveraged at the gay community, and they're going to have police there. They're taking a lot of risk to hold these viewings. So there is a lot of courage that our volunteers have, and the religious organizations and the other venues that are there, they're all standing up and saying, listen, this is too important for us not to share. So as a host, you register again, you go right to our website, you say, I want to do this. I'm going to try to find a restaurant, a religious institution, a small movie theater, right, to agree to show it. And then we, Defense of Democracy, provides you with all the tools. We will create the posters. We will set up your registration links. We'll give you, and the way that I'm discussing it with my volunteers, because now we're looking at something that's a month away, right? I'm like, it's a trust fall. You have to say, I will do, you know, I'll line up the venue. I will put all these pieces in place and we will help you to work it out. And we have every week, we have a conversation, a live back and forth with our hosts who are hosting these to make sure everyone's on the same page. I just wish I could bottle this excitement. So thank you, Rocky. If anyone is thinking about they want to host one of these films in their community, very, very easy. Just get in touch with me. Go right to the website, defenseofdemocracy.org. You can register as a host right there. And like I said, we will walk you through it. This is something that none of us have ever done before, myself included. And I think you too, right, Rocky? Like this is all new to all of us. And so to get involved, that's what you would do. And you can also go to our website. If you don't want to host, see if there's one being filmed near you. We have two being hosted in Tulsa. We've got San Diego is hosting one. Richmond, Virginia, New York is hosting one. But they're everywhere. They're coast to coast. And there are about, at this point, over 30 of them being hosted. So that's what we're doing on our end. We're having so much fun with it. So exciting. So Rocky, thank you again for your time being here. I see great things coming for you. I see this documentary as an opportunity for healing, for opening discussions. Very, very grateful that you did this and so grateful that we partnered with you on this.
Yeah, thank you. It'll be so much fun. Later, we'll have to talk about our Get Out the Vote campaign that 1946 is working on for 2024. We just finished our proposal, and it's a road trip across America, hitting communities that are impacted most by book bans and pushback on LGBTQ rights and women's rights and things like that. And so if anybody were interested, yeah, in learning about how they can help 1946 make an impact into communities, we want to provide free conferences. These are 5-hour, all-day conferences with local community leaders. And then we have a pastor coming with us to teach people how the Bible has been weaponized in many different ways. Again, as we look at women's rights, as we look at reproductive rights, as we look at what's going on with Christian nationalism in our country, we can give people permission to rethink these things because we've been played. And our good loved ones have been played too. And it's okay. We need to talk about it, you know, and we still have time to save our democracy.
We do. And like, I love these moments on this podcast where you get to see what grassroots is, right? There are a lot of places, a lot of organizations, especially on the other side, that are claiming to be grassroots. But what you just told me, a month from now, you guys keep an eye on this because I definitely want to partner with this. And I have some ideas. The wheels are turning already. So Rocky, you're awesome. Thank you so much. And we will absolutely stay in touch. And I'm so looking forward to the festival and more good things. Thanks for listening to the Defense of Democracy podcast. If you like what you've heard, you can find out more at defenseofdemocracy.org. Please consider becoming a support partner by texting the letters D-O-F-D, that's Defense, O-F, Democracy, to 44321. Stay strong and remember, there is more good than bad out there, and you're standing on the right side of history.